was that all the gifts of the Spirit found in Romans and in Ephesians, and we're making some real progress in Corinthians. Come to another of these gifts tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you take a minute to find that, let me just say again. I don't know what your plans are for next Friday. There's some things that just, there are conflicts that you just can't avoid. But if you have any possible way of rescheduling your conflicts with the next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, then I hope that you'll do so. If you can be here to hear what the Lord has to say through Dr. Mrs. Cowguy. Somebody will be calling you about our supper on Friday night, and I hope you'll come. If you can't come to the supper, please don't let that keep you away from the meeting, which will be after the supper. The supper's at 6, and the session itself begins at 7. So I would just encourage you, if you can't come to the supper, to come on at 7 for the meeting. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. We'll stop there. The hour was late. The minds and bodies of 14 men were straining to keep alert. For the past hour and a half, this church board had made little progress. The decision had to be made that night, but they had reached a stalemate. The arguments had been given for the two major viewpoints, but each time they ended up with a 7-7 tie vote. Sounds like the Board of Trustees seeking a president for Auburn, doesn't it? I think the stalemate's been broken this weekend on that. As the debate continued, one of the 14 men asked for the floor. He had listened carefully to both sides of the debate, but the more he listened, the less convinced he became that his position was the right one. Now, hesitantly, he suggested a third alternative. Faces brightened, his proposal made sense. It was so simple, why hadn't anyone thought of it before? Within minutes, the third alternative proposal was adopted unanimously. Brothers and sisters, that kind of incident shows us the gift of wisdom in action. This gift is the ability to make God's will known to men. It is the supernatural capacity to apply spiritual principles to contemporary problems and crises. An account of one with the gift of wisdom is demonstrated in the life of King Solomon. David was dead, and his son Solomon was now on the throne. As God appeared to the new king, he told him to ask whatever he wanted. Solomon's reply is a good one. Solomon said to the Lord, "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth or riches, nor honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you." Well, soon after God granted this request to Solomon, Solomon found himself in a situation where he desperately needed some supernatural wisdom. He needed the use of this gift. It seems that two women who were prostitutes came before Solomon one day with a baby. Maybe you remember the story from King. "Sir," one of them began, "we live in the same house. Just the two of us, and recently I had a baby. When it was 3 days old, this woman's baby was born too. But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it in her sleep, and she smothered it. And then she got up in the night and took my son from beside me while I was asleep and laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. And in the morning when I tried to feed my baby, I found out that it was dead. But when it became light outside, I saw that it wasn't my son at all." Then the other woman interrupted, and this is what the Living Bible records that she said, "It certainly was her son, and the living child is mine." No, the first woman said, the dead one is yours and the living one is mine. And so they argued back and forth before King Solomon. Solomon had to make a decision. They called for some real wisdom. So, the Bible tells us that Solomon called for a sword, and he ordered that the living child be cut into two, and that each woman be given a half. When that happened, the woman who was really the mother of the child and who loved the child very much cried out, "Oh no, sir, give her the child. Don't kill him." But the other woman said, "All right, it will be neither yours nor mine. Let's divide it up." So after the two women had spoken thusly, Solomon said, "Give the baby to the mother who wants the child to live, for she's the mother." The news of Solomon's wisdom spread throughout the entire kingdom, and the people realized the great wisdom that God had given to their king. In the New Testament, in Acts 15, we find another account of the exercise of the gift of wisdom. It seems that some men from Judea had gone to Antioch, and once they got up there, they began to teach the Christians in Antioch, who, by the way, were the followers of Jesus, were first called Christians in Antioch. They began to teach the Christians in Antioch that they must first submit to the ancient Jewish custom of circumcision before they could be saved. So Paul and Barnabas, along with some of the local men from Antioch, went up to Jerusalem to talk to the leaders of the Jerusalem church, the elders and the apostles there in Jerusalem, about this question. And what we find in Acts 15 is a description of the first great council of the church, the council at Jerusalem. This great assembly of church leaders was gathered to decide whether or not to require Gentile converts to Jesus Christ to submit to circumcision as a part of their salvation. Friends, it was an important question. It affects us today, the answer they gave. Well, you see, the future of the church rested on the decision that was made there in Jerusalem. Well, Luke, the physician who wrote the book of Acts, tells us what happened. First, Paul and Barnabas came before the council, and they reported all the great things that God had done among the Gentiles and how many Gentiles had been saved. So they had their say. And when Paul and Barnabas got through having their say, then some men who were Christians who had come into the Christian faith from being Pharisees, they stood to their feet and they declared that it was their opinion that a Gentile convert had to be circumcised before he could be saved. There was much discussion back and forth with both viewpoints being forcibly presented. And then the scriptures tell us that finally James took the floor and he exercised his gift of wisdom. He made a proposal, a solution that everyone there accepted. The whole crowd accepted his solution. What he said was simply this, recorded in Acts 15. He said, "We should not insist that Gentiles who turn to God must obey Jewish laws, except that we should write them to refrain from eating meat sacrificed to idols, from all fornication, and also from eating meat of strangled animals." So the elders and the apostles voted to send delegates to the church in Antioch to report this decision, and they took along a letter which contained the decision of that Jerusalem council. When the letter was read to the Christians in Antioch, there was great joy in that congregation there in Antioch. Potential problem which could have split the early church was avoided because James exercised his gift of wisdom. You know, I guess I should say at this point, I used to tell my folks down in Andalusia, when somebody walked out, I wasn't going to listen. I wasn't going to preach until they got out the door. And when they came back in, I was going to stop and sit down. Because you know what we do when somebody walks in and out? We watch them and don't listen to the preacher. You know how I know you do it? Because when somebody else is preaching and I'm out there, I do the same thing. And it's just something we can't help. I'm not aggravated at you. I'm just saying I know that's what happens. And some of you didn't hear what I said when my little boy just walked in. I'm not going to repeat it again, though. You can read it. You'll get a manuscript when it's over. But I'm aware of that. And I used to, down in Andalusia, I just let them walk out and I wouldn't say anything until they got out the door. When they came back in, I stopped until they got seated.
Well, that's life, isn't it? Let's get back to the council in Jerusalem. A potential problem which could have split that first century church was avoided because this man James, the half-brother of Jesus, had the gift of wisdom, and he exercised that gift before the body there in Jerusalem. Now, I need to say to you that a word of caution needs to be exercised when we talk about the wisdom, the gift of wisdom. The word of wisdom given by James and accepted by the Jerusalem Council did not contradict one word of Scripture. Whenever a person gives wise advice which is contrary to the teaching of the Word of God, that may be wise advice, but it's not the same thing as the spiritual gift of the Word of Wisdom. The Bible is infallible in its guidance. Sometimes people are not. Therefore, the Word of Wisdom must always be tempered by the teachings of the Scripture. Another use of the gift of wisdom is that which was promised by Jesus to his disciples when he told them that they would find themselves before councils and courts and kings for his name's sake. Of course, that came to pass. It still comes to pass today. He told them not to make advance preparation for those occasions as to what they should say, that when the occasion arose, the Holy Spirit would give them the very words that they needed to say. Such difficult situations would require wisdom at that needy moment, and the Spirit of God would not let them down. Twice in the early chapters of the book of Acts, we see Peter exercising the gift of wisdom before this type of situation, in this case, the Sanhedrin. The first time, the Sanhedrin perceived that these apostles, of whom Peter was one, who spoke to them, were unschooled, ordinary men. And yet they spoke with such wisdom, the Bible says, that they were astonished. And they were not exercising their own wisdom. They were exercising the gift of wisdom that God had given them. The second time Peter was brought before them, he announced that we must obey God rather than men. Angered by Peter's reply, they decided to kill the apostle. When it came down to it, they didn't kill him. They just beat him and told him to be quiet and not talk about Jesus anymore. When Stephen, one of the first deacons, disputed with the Jewish leaders, the Bible tells us they couldn't stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. Later, before the Sanhedrin, Stephen's defense was characterized by such wisdom that the only response this council of the Sanhedrin could come up with was to have his life taken by stoning. The gift of wisdom is needed today by believers living where persecution occurs. Eternity Magazine says that in the last decade, more than 600 Baptists have been imprisoned in Russia in the past decade for their faith in Christ. One of them, Georgi Zeltanzonsky, that's just a guess on my part as to how to say that. I guess my guess is good as yours, was charged with receiving and distributing Bibles, thereby trampling a Soviet law. And he was charged with conducting prayer service in his home. He was found guilty and he was sentenced to 3 years in a Siberian labor camp. But when he went before the judge to stand trial, this middle-aged Russian Baptist Christian evidenced the gift of wisdom. Here's some of the dialogue that transpired at that trial. It's recorded in Eternity Magazine. The judge said, "Did you import and distribute literature?" "Yes, I gave it to everybody." The judge said, "Where is it printed?" Georgi said, "Praise God, I don't know." The judge said, "Why did you do this?" Georgi said, "According to Lenin's decree on religion, citizens are permitted not only to believe, but also to confess their faith and to propagate it." Lenin granted freedom. He didn't limit it. The same is true of the United Declaration of Human Rights. And at this point, Georgi complained to the judge about the coarse behavior of the Soviet police officials who broke up the prayer meeting in his home. "Some were drunk," he complained, "and they insulted the believers, calling them a rabble." To this, the judge replied, if I read my Romans right, it says in 13:2, obey the authorities. Yorgi replied, the answer to that is Ephesians 6:12. We are not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness. Whom should we obey, man or God? The lesser yields to the greater. I submit to God. To whom do you submit? Just as Jesus had said when they would come to stand before courts and kings, the Holy Spirit would give them the wisdom that they needed. The gift of wisdom is a much-needed supernatural ability. And whether it's used in a time of persecution, or whether it's used to overcome potential problems in the life of a local body of believers, the church, the exercise of this particular gift of the Holy Spirit will result in the church being edified and growing in number and in maturity. So, my dear friend, if you have the gift of wisdom, then I exhort you to use it for the building up of the body of Christ. And if you have some other gift, you need to use that as well.
So, I wonder if you have something you'd like to share.